Shir should be dedicated to Refuah Shlema for my father, Chaim Yitzchak Yaakov ben Bas Yisar. The issue of rabbinic decrees that seem to be outdated to many of us might appear to be a modern issue. Many of the gzeiros and takanos, rabbinic enactments and decrees, were for any number of reasons that seem to not apply to today's world. And many people think that this is outdated and not applicable, and therefore we should get rid of them. And to be honest, it's not really a shvacha taina, and it's something that not only needs to be addressed today, but it's something that was addressed many years ago in the Gemara. Just to name a few, I don't know if we're going to get to every single decree and explain the rationale and explain why it is or is not applicable and whether or not there's a debate about it. But just a few of the gzeiros and takanos that Chazal enacted and their reasoning. Number one, medications on Shabbos. Chazal tell us in the Gemara on Shabbos, and it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is not allowed to take medication on Shabbos for no reason, and he needs a specific heter and permission in order to take medication. And the reason is because Chazal were worried, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Chazal were worried that if a person is now going to be allowed to take the medication, it might lead him to make the medication and grind in the process, which will be one of the 39 malachas, the malacha of tchina, of grinding. Now, someone might argue, come on, Rabbi. And it's not a bad argument. Who grinds? I don't even know that there's grinding in the medication. Who even knows where these factories are? I'm not going to grind anything. I'm going to grind something. And we'll see, actually, the Shaila came up once in my family, and Mirtz Hashem we'll get to. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but the Shaila did come up, the grinding issue of the Shaila. But we'll see that even if I do have to grind it, it's not even going to be an issue, because if I grind it in this scenario, it won't even be a chiv for whatever reason once we analyze the issue specifically of tchina, of medication on Shabbos. But the rabbinic decree, medication, I'm going to take medication, this is going to lead to grinding. Why should this apply today? Or clapping one's hands on Shabbos, dancing on Shabbos, Chazal tell us that we're worried, Shema Gzeira, Shema Yitakin Klishir, this might lead to a person fixing an instrument on Shabbos, and the person argues to the rabbi, he walks up to him and says, I couldn't even tell if the guitar was on tune, even if I wanted to tune the guitar. I can't even sing on tune. What are you talking about? I'm going to fix. I take it to Sam Ash Music Store. That's where we fix it. We have factories. It's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen in the shul. Why can we sing? Why can we have dances? This gzeira is inapplicable today. So these were issues that Chazal dealt with when it came to Takanas Chachamim. And Chazal made up a klal in the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Hei Mevis. And the reason why I'm talking about it tonight is because the source of the klal, the rule that Chazal present to the Gemara in Beitza, how to deal with these rabbinic decrees, is coming from this week's Parsha. Although it's dealing with rabbinic decrees, and rabbinic enactments and halachos don't usually appear in the Torah. However, Chazal found in Parshas Yisro, at the time of Matan Torah, the preparation of Matan Torah, a source for how to deal with these issues of rabbinic decrees that seem to be outdated, that seem to be inapplicable today, and therefore can we just let them go by the wayside? So the Gemara is discussing the placement. I don't have the whole Gemara on source one. The Gemara was discussing the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, whether or not we need to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It's a long sugya. And the Gemara in that discussion gets into various takanos midrabanan that were enacted. And the Gemara says that there was a takana midrabanan on Daf Hei Mebeis in source number one that was as follows. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, certain fruits had to be taken and needed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says that if you were in a certain distance of Yerushalayim, even though if you lived very, very far away, we allowed you to do a pidyon, to take some money, and you didn't have to schlep all the fruits up to Yerushalayim, But the Gemara says if you were in a certain distance that was a close proximity, a distance of a day's travel from Yerushalayim, Chachamim wanted you to schlep those fruits up to Yerushalayim and eat them themselves, because the rabbis wanted Yerushalayim to appear like a city that was filled with fruits, that looked beautiful. The houses were filled with fruits, the streets, people had fruits. It gives a good appearance to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Yerushalayim, to this holy city. And therefore Chazal enacted, if you're a day's travel away from Yerushalayim, schlep it up. That was the Takana of the Rabban. However, the Gemara discusses, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, although I still had to bring up the fruits to Yerushalayim, but maybe this enactment shouldn't apply because we don't have to beautify the streets around the Beis HaMikdash if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gemara discusses this issue. So the Gemara in the first line, Amar lo Talmidev, one of the Talmidim said to Rabbi Elazar, Rebbe, Kfar nimnu alecha chaver chavitirua. The Beis Din came and already eradicated, they got rid of that Takana b'Derabanan. Man chavercha, who did this? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Gemara says, you don't have to be makbid on this, because don't worry. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai convened the Beis Din, and he sat the whole Beis Din together, and they decided all together, this takana should not apply anymore. And the Gemara says, Taima dinimnu, since they convened the Beis Din, since they all sat together, the Sanhedrin HaGadol only decided and they looked and carefully and they came to the decision that now we should eradicate this earlier takana. Halo nimna lo. But if a person would not eradicate this, would not convene a Beis Din, and we would just say, come on, Rabbi, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, what do I have to do this for? That's not appropriate. You need that the Sanhedrin, HaGadol, the Beis Din, the Rabbanim have to do a minyan. They have to count. They have to take votes. They have to go through a process in order to eradicate the takana. And the Gemara was saying, Rabbi Elazar, don't be machmanin, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took care of it with his Beis Din. But the Gemara is telling us a principle that you need this convening of a Beis Din. Where do you get this from? Maiva Omer. So the Gemara says, where is the source for this? So the Gemara is explaining the drasha that the Gemara gets this from. Hachikomer. This is the source. Michtich Siv by Matan Torah. Ayu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yamin. Al Tikshu El Aisha. The Gemara, the Torah says, Rabbona Shalom said to Moshe Rabbein, before you even come to Matan Torah, before we even get to the Aseres HaDibros, there's a whole preparation process. You can't just move in to a Kabbalah Satorah. You have to prepare yourself. And the Torah says, the Rabbanu Shalom says, tell Am Yisrael that they should prepare themselves for 3 days. Al Tikshu El Aisha. And they separated themselves for 3 days. So then after Matan Torah, the Rabbanu Shalom came and said, you can now go back to Shuvah Lachem Lalalechem. Once Matan Torah was finished, so then they were allowed to return to their homes and they were allowed to be with their wives. Shuvu lechem la'alechem, lechem or lehem, shuvu lechem lamali, says the Gemara. If the Rabbanu Shalom presented that they should separate, and they should separate for 3 days, so why did the Rabbanu Shalom, after Matan Torah, once those 3 days were finished, why did he have to go and give a special tzivoy commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Bnei Yisrael, you should know, you are now permitted to go back to your tents. And if you wouldn't have said that, what would I have thought? Matan Torah is over. There's nothing big or great going on anymore. Of course I can go back to my tent. Shkayach Rabbi Shalom. I don't need a mitzvah. I don't need you to command Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, no. Apparently, if the Rabbi Shalom wouldn't have commanded us to go back and to be allowed and permitted us to go back into our tents, the prohibition would have remained. Lechem or lechem, shuvu lechem, lechem lamali. Shma minah, says the Gemara, this is the source. Any takana midrabanan that Chazal enacted, davar shebe minyan, that the Beis Din minyan enacted, tzarech minyan acher la'atiro. You need a Beis Din to reconvene in order to eradicate that takana. Now if we look, there's a parallel sugya that almost mimics the sugya in Beitzah. There's a parallel sugya in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tesem Beis, and Rashi and Tosfos both have a different explanation of what the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam in this week's Parsha, in the preparation process to Matan Torah, what was going on exactly. Rashi says as follows. Source number 2. Lo nishnis besinai, elim ipnesha asa lehem tashmish shlosha yamim kodim Matan Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, for 3 days, you have to separate from your wives. That is the commandment. For 3 days. So once the 3 days are over, if the whole prohibition was only for 3 days, so shkayach, I put on my clock, I put on my calendar, once 3 days are up, I know, it's whatever is usher, what it becomes mutter, it's mutter. What do you have to repeat it? And even though on my own I could have deduced this on my own, because the Ribbono Shel Olam only prohibited me for 3 days, says Rashi, this is the source like we just explained. If the rabbis enact a decree, even if there's a number and a certain time limitation to that decree, right? Let's say 1,000 years for some cherims, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Once they enacted it, it stays. Rashi says the fact that there's a limiting time originally doesn't matter. You need a bezdin because Hashem, when He created the Isser, the prohibition before Matan Torah to be with one's wife because you had to be totally pure, so that was only for 3 days. And still, the Ribbono Shel Olam had to go back and permit us. However, Tosfos, in source number 3, understands the story in this week's Parsha in a different light. Perish HaKuntris, the Chol Dover HaNeser B'minyan, Afilu Kavuzman, even if there's a time limit to that original prohibition, L'Dover Tzarech Minyan Acher L'Atiru, you need a new Bezdin to permit it, K'Sheyavor Azman, B'Shuv Chazer U'Perish Al Tikshu El Aisha Lohava Bezman V'Hok Siv Heinuchonim L'Shloshes Yamim Hainu L'Kabel HaTorah B'Yom HaShlishi. Says Tosfos, I'm sorry, Rashi, I disagree with your understanding of the psukim of what the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling us. The Ribbono Shel Olam never said there is a prohibition for you to be your wife with your wife for 3 days. That's not what happened. The Ribbono Shel Olam said there's a permission to be with your wife. Why? What's going on? What's the great shakes? What's happening? Why can't I be with my wife? Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, you should know, in 3 days from now, there's something big that's going to happen. What's going to happen? In 3 days from now, there is going to be Matan Torah. So I want you to be able to prepare for this great thing that's going to be in 3 days. But Tosfos says, when you analyze the nature of the prohibition that the Ribbono Shel Olam presented to Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't say, I don't want them to be with their wives for 3 days. There was never a source in this conversation of a time-limiting zera. The Ribbono Shel Olam never put a time to the prohibition. Says Tosfos, argues Tosfos, if there would have been a time-limiting factor to this prohibition like Rashi presents, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam would have not had to go back and permitted what he prohibited, because it would have been permitted on its own. So Tosfos says, therefore, I have to reinterpret the psukim. I do not agree with Rashi's interpretation of the psukim in this week's Parsha. And when he created the prohibition, it was a prohibition that was plain and simple. Do not be with your wife. And then he went to elaborate. Let me tell you, there's a lot going on here. You're going to get the Torah. Something's big going to happen in the next 3 days. So therefore, Tosfos paskins la'alacha, here as well as in Beitza. And he writes, if a Bezdin puts initially a time limit to their gzera, and they say, we only want this gzera to last for 5 years, or we only want this decree to be done, to be enacted for 20 minutes, no problem. That can wither away on its own. That was not what the Ribbono Shel Olam was doing. That was not the case of Matan Torah, which is the source for Tzarech Minyan Acher Lahatira. That is the debate between Rashi and Tosfos. Okay? They have a different understanding of what was the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this week's Parsha. What's their machlokus all about? Is there something deeper that they're arguing about? Let's leave that for the back burner, and Mirtz Hashem will come to try to explain that in a few minutes. But I'd like to present another issue that's a focal issue inside the sugya of Tzarach Min Nachle Atiru. This issue of what is needed in order to just eradicate a takanam d'rabbanon that it bothers you, that you think is inapplicable, it's just not, it doesn't apply today. So what do we need in order to get rid of it? So look at source number 5. The Rambam says as follows. Bezdin shegazru gzeira. A bezdin that decreed a decree, otaknu takana, or they made an enactment, vinhigu minag upashar adar l'chol Yisrael, and they had a minig that spread, va'amar achreim bezdin acher ubikesh levatel devrehem, and came along a later bezdin and said, come on, this doesn't apply today, it's 2014, get real. Levatel dvarim harishonim, v'lakar oso atakana, v'osa agzera v'osa minig, they wanted to eradicate it, eino yachol, the Rambam says, you are not allowed, ad shiyeh gadol min harishonim, b'chachma uv'minyan. Until you have a greater status, both in chachma, in wisdom, that later bezdin, and the Rambam says also minyan, the amount of numbers. Now you might ask, as the Rambam himself asks elsewhere, when are you going to have a Sanhedrin that's going to have a different number? Doesn't the Sanhedrin always have 71 Dayanim? It's always going to be the same minyan in every generation. So the Rambam says minyan means the Chachmei Hador that are going to accept this decree in the later Bezdin. So if they have more Chachamim, more rabbis, and they have greater wisdom amongst the Sanhedrin, that is a type of Bezdin, ooh, they're a little better than the first Bezdin. They have the ability to eradicate that first Takana. Hayigadu b'chachma avalo b'minyan, b'minyan avalo b'chachma, if you don't have all the criteria, eino yachol levatel es dvarav. Afilu batel atam, shebiglalo gazru harishonim. Wow. The Rambam just answered our question. Ooh. Rambam says, don't be sharp with me. Rambam says, I know in 2014 a lot of these reasons are not going to apply. The tam is not going to be applicable. The reason for these gzeiras, it's a different door, it's a different generation. The Rambam says, I know. But the Rambam says, I'm sorry. You need two criteria. You got to be better, you got to be smarter, and if there's nothing to talk about, if you're not that, there's nothing to talk about. Okay. Comes along the Ravid in the last line and says, Asagas Ravid, Bezdin shegazru gzeira ad shiyegadu min harishonim, and he quotes the Rambam, he's quoting what he's about to argue with, Amar Avram, v'lo, v'afilu Eliyahu beis dino, I'm sorry, the next line, Asagas Ravid, yiyegadu b'chachma, Amar Avram, itur shuke Yerushalayim b'peiris kashiyale, sharishonim tiknua, v'rav Yochanan ben Zakkai bitla, achar churban, mipnei shenispatel atam l'rishonim, v'lo hayagadol k'rishonim. Comes along the Ravid and saves us. Woo! The Ravid says, Rambam, you're being too machmir over here. Rambam, I have a Gemara, explicit Gemara, that we already read together, Rabosai, that tells the Rambam that which you need, that the later Bezdin in the modern era has to be smarter, which is going to be an issue for all of us, right? Because the Amoraim, the Tanaim, come on, those guys were good. We don't stand a chance against them. However, says the Ravid, no, I have a Gemara that says, if the reason does not apply anymore, so then just convene the numbers, convene a Bezdin, Tzarech Minyan Acher La'atiro, but you don't need this other criteria of being greater or better. And the Ravid says, and I have an explicit Gemara. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said originally, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they enacted that everyone should schlep the fruits into Yerushalayim, and they shouldn't do this pidyon, that they're not going to schlep their fruits from their house. Why? We explained that they wanted to beautify the market, to beautify the city when the Beis HaMikdash was around. However, later on, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came along, and the Talmidim were telling Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took care of it. He said, come on! There's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. What do we have to beautify Yerushalayim for? So said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, let's get a bez together quick. Let's do like, you know, like a forest in the dark before Rosh Hashanah. Let's get rid of this decree, no problem, 1, 2, 3. Says the Ravid. And was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai better than those Rabbanim beforehand? Absolutely not. He was later, he was generations later, and we all know how it goes. As the generations go, they can become more shvach. So therefore the Ravid says he wasn't any greater in Chachma, and he still got rid of the Takana. So therefore the Ravid says, as long as the Tam Hagzera, like it did in Beitza, didn't apply, because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't around anymore, as long as that reason doesn't apply, as long as no one's going to crush any medicine, and no one's going to make any medicine, so then let's get rid of the whole decree, says the Ravid. Ah, you don't have greater, wiser people? Who cares? The Gemara and Beitza, what's the difference? What's the Rambam going to do with that? Comes along the Kesef Mishnah, and the Kesef Mishnah says, disagree with how the Ravid's evaluating Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Personally, I think Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a greater Talmud Chacham than the people that preceded him. The Mishnah in Avos says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the Talmidim that was on the lowest level. Says the Kesef Mishnah, nah, that Mishnah is talking about in other Chachmas, in other issues. But in learning, in Talmud Torah, the Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam was of the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Gadol B'Chachma. He actually had it. He met the criteria that the Rambam needed. And that's the way the Rambam is going to learn the Gemara and Beitza. So it really comes down to a machlokas, whether or not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was better than the generation before. That's how to deal with the Gemara and Beitza. But what comes out, Ledina, how you deal with the Gemara and Beitza is a separate issue. But Lehalacha, the Rambam and the Ravid have a debate whether or not, if Nisbat Lahatam, if the reason for the decree is no longer in existence, does that mean that technically we really could take care of it now? Okay, you're right. You can't take care of it without convening a Beis Din, but according to the Rambam, just because the Tam HaGzeirah is Nispatel is not around, it's no longer in existence, that doesn't change anything. Tzarech Minyan Achal Atiru, there's one way. Gadol B'Menu B'Chachmu B'Minyan. You need the Minyan, and you need to be Gadol, and you need a greater Minyan, says the Rambam. But if you're not wiser, if you don't have that Chachma, says the Rambam, there's nothing to talk about, even though the Tam HaGzeirah doesn't apply. However, the Ravid apparently had a different understanding. The Ravid had a different approach. But how did the Ravid understand? I'm failing to understand the Ravid. The Ravid said, but lo atam, the Drabbanan is no longer in existence. Don't worry about it. Relax. We want to know whether or not the Tam, the reason, applies. If it doesn't apply, now we can relax. We can take care of it. But if you're so serious about the Tam Akzera, the Ravid, let's ask on the Ravid. If that's true, that if the logic and the reason that the rabbis enacted it, that is enough of a reason to get rid of the Takana itself, so why do you need anything else? Why do you need even to convene a Beis Din? The Tam HaGzeirah doesn't apply. What's the Ravid talking about? The Rambam understood that there was one sugya. There's one sugya called Tzarech Minyan Achel Atiro. And that minyan, that new convening of a Beis Din in order to eradicate an earlier takana, is only with the qualifications and only if you meet the criteria that you're greater in wisdom and numbers. If you're not a greater Beis Din, so then there's nothing to talk about. You can't reconvene. And the Rambam says, and I don't even care if the reason is not inapplicable. You just need one thing. You have to be a greater Beis Din. You have to be greater. So there's nothing to talk about in our generation, according to the Rambam, because we're not greater. However, the Ravid says, absolutely not. Once the Tam, the reason, doesn't apply, that's great. You don't need any more Chachma Ubeminyan. Why does the Mishnah say, the Rambam didn't make up this klal Chachma Ubeminyan. The Mishnah says in Adius, Tzarech Minyan Acher, Gadol B'Menu B'Chachma Ubeminyan. So the Ravid says, yeah, you need a greater Beis Din, a wiser Beis Din, a later Beis Din that's greater than its predecessors. That's in a scenario when the Tziva Satakana is Kayam, when the Tam is in existence, when the reason that the earlier Beis Din enacted it is also applicable in today's day. So the rabbis and the Batei Dinim want to argue with something that the earlier rabbis enacted, even though that Svara is still applicable. Now, says the Ravid, that's when you need a greater Beis Din. Fine, that's the way he learns it. So why do I even need minyan acher le'atiru? The Ravid's not ignoring the Gemara and Beitza that we started off with. The Ravid's not ignoring the sugya of Matan Torah that you needed Hashem to repeat what he said. So what is he doing? Apparently, the Ravid is saying, even though I'm being laxed and I'm saying you don't need such qualifications in order to eradicate the decree if the reason doesn't apply. However, you can't just get rid of the Rabbanans. The fact that people were knowing, the minog was for many years, people existed with this mitzvah, people existed with this prohibition, whatever the rabbis enacted. So now we don't just wake up one day and say, hey, it doesn't apply today. Let's just stop. Let's stop doing this mitzvah derabanan. Let's stop following this takan of derabanan. The tam's not applicable. Yeah, the rabbi said that's going to help you. But you need to at least convene a bezdin. You have to at least deal with a process and do a process that has the ability to eradicate that earlier decree, even if it's inapplicable. So the Ravid apparently saw there were two approaches in the sugya. There was one approach, gadol b'menu b'chachma b'minyan, that you need a greater later bezdin. That's when the reason still applies. And if the reason still applies, then the Ravid will agree to the Rambam. There's really nothing to talk about in our generation because we're no greater. However, the Ravid argued, but if you have a scenario where the reason and the impetus doesn't really apply to why the original Beis Din enacted it, and now we just want to get rid of it, so the Ravid says, you don't need any great credentials. You don't need a great wise Beis Din. In a later Beis Din, you could take care of it. However, you have to do something. You need Tzarech Minyan Acher La'atiro. And that is the Sugya in Beitza. And that is what we learn from the Sugya, from the Gemara, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Tzarech Minyan Acher La'atiro. Anything that existed has to be undone and eradicated with a process, with a convening of a Beis Din, and it can't just be ignored just one day to stop. So the Ravid understood that there were two sugyas, one where the Tam applies, one where the Tam doesn't apply. And the Rambam says, I don't know two sugyas you're talking about. I have one sugya. It's talking about reconvening Beis Dins. And reconvening Beis Dins means you have a greater Beis Din than the earlier ones. And if you don't have a greater Beis Din than the earlier one, even though the reason might not be applicable, argues the Rambam, there's nothing to talk about. You have no ability to touch that original Gzeira because it was done by greater rabbis. So I'm sorry to say, and even if you want to kvetch and you want to say the reason's not applicable, says the Rambam, there is nothing to talk about. And the Sugya in Beitza is also talking about where there were greater, wiser people. Gadol b'menu u'b'chacham b'minyan. So we have this fascinating machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid that's going to have much ramifications la'alacha about later Beis Dins that don't meet the credentials. When things do not apply, the reasons and the impetus does not apply. So is that enable us to reconvene a Beis Din to take care of that? That's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. And then we had this original machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, whether or not if the rabbis enacted the decree, but it had a time-limiting factor, it was only for a temporary time period, does that on its own allow the decree to be repealed on its own, memela? Rav Zsolti has a beautiful explanation and analysis to this whole sugya. And he says as follows. He thinks the machlokas lies in a crucial understanding of the nature of mitzvos derabanan and the koach and the power that the rabbis have in their decrees. If you look at source number 4, I'm sorry, not source number 4. Source number 8. Says the Rambam as follows, when he's introducing the koach of Chazal to enact decrees and Gzeros, and all their rabbinic enactments. Beis Din HaGadol Sheb Yerushalayim, the Beis Din HaGadol that sits in Jerusalem, Heim Iker HaTorah Shebal Peh. They are the source of the Torah Shebal Peh that we have. The oral tradition. V'heim Amudei HaOrah, U'mehem Chok U'mishpa Yotzei L'chol Yisrael. Let's skip to the next the next Rambam. The Rambam is introducing us the Koach of the rabbis. Halacha Beis. Kol mi she'eino oseh kora asan. And if you're not going to follow what the rabbis decree, over below saseh, you violate, get this, rabbis. No pun intended. Get this. You violate a biblical prohibition by not listening to a rabbinic decree of muktzah, says the Rambam. You are in violation of a deoraisa, lo sasser mikol adover, asher yagidu lecha, yaminu sma. Ve'ein lokin alav zeh. Fine. So the Rambam says, you don't get malchus. And then let's skip to the bold face. Ve'echad varm sha'asu siag le'torah, what they made as decrees to fence, to enable, to ensure that the laws of the Torah be protected, and they made rabbinic decrees to protect those laws. Ulefim asha asha tzricha, and all those things that they made because the generation needed it. Ve'hem gzeres v'atakonos v'minhagos, all these rabbinic enactments. Kol echad ve'echad me'elu ashlosh advarim, mitzvas asei lishmo lehen. There is a biblical mitzvah to listen to those rabbinic enactments. Va over al kolechon mehem, over below sasein, you violate a negative prohibition. Harei hu omer al pi haTorah sher yerucha ila takonos vagzeres vamenagus sheyoru behem laramim kedei lechazik adas latakin olam. So the Rambam says you must take this very seriously. When there is a rabbinic decree, don't just get all laxed and sit back and say, ah, come on, it's only derabbanon. No, says the Rambam. This is biblical. This is deoraisa. Wow. But all of you should jump on me and say, that's not true. Safik. Safik derabbanon lekula. There are situations in halacha that we are very lax and we make a distinction between biblical laws and rabbinic laws. And this is the question of the Ramban on the Rambam. How is it that he says that every derabbanon has the koach and is a deoraisa when the Chazal all over say you have no problem being laxed in a case of doubt, in a case of suffik, it's only a derabbanon, suffik derabbanon lekula, and suffik when in case of biblical law, suffik deoraisa lechumra. Hello, doesn't the Rambam say every derabbanon is a deoraisa? It's lo sasser. So there are two approaches how to deal with this question of the Ramban, which is a very, very strong question. One approach presented by the Drashas Haran is as follows. When the rabbis created their decree and they said, this is our rabbinic ordinance, this is our rabbinic decree, they enacted within the clause, within the halacha midrabanon, that b'mokum safek, in a case of doubt, this rabbinic issue will not apply. This rabbinic ordinance will not be applicable. We are only enacting it in cases of vados, in cases where you know it applies for sure. Certainty. However, if there's a doubt, we ourselves are not implementing this halacha. If that's the case, so then the Rambam's safe. The Rambam will tell you, yes, every derabbanan has the capacity and the ability, if you violate a derabbanan, to violate a din min haTorah. It actually is on par with the halachos of the Chumash, of the Torah. However, why is it that we become so laxed when it comes to situations of doubt in rabbinic areas? So that the Rambam will tell you, that's because the rabbis themselves, when they invented and created this rabbinic area, they said it doesn't apply in a case of doubt. It doesn't apply in a case of question. It only applies in scenarios of certainty. So therefore they themselves repealed their gzeira. It's not us being laxed in a case of suffix. That is the opinion in defense of the Rambam, of the Drashas Haran. Others could argue, as they do, the Kiryas Sefer says, no. The Rambam understood, or one could argue, that even if rabbinic ordinances, rabbinic decrees connect on a deraisa level, they only do so on a global level, and not on a specific level. And therefore, if I'm not going to follow a rabbinic decree, not because I want to rebel against them, but because whatever personal reason, or I'm not 100% sure, and I'm not trying to be chutzpahdik and go directly against the Bezdin, so then I'm not in violation of lo sasser. Lo sasser means I see it, I see it's rabbinic and I say, huh, rabbinic. Who holds a rabbinic? I hold of deraisas. I hold of biblical. That's what the Rambam is getting at. But if you're not being morate, if you're not rebelling against Chazal, you're not ignoring it because of its status, you're just being lax because of the situation, because it's a suffix, so then you're not actually going against the biblical halacha of lo sasser that you should follow rabbis. But if one had to classify that second analysis, it means that not necessarily does every specific ordinance or every halacha have a foot, is a footnote of the Torah, is actually connected to the koach of the chumash of the biblical laws. It means on a more global level, you should respect your rabbis and don't be morayed and rebel against your rabbis because you think they don't have such authority. The Torah grants them on a general level the authority of lo sasser min hadavar. But it doesn't mean that every enactment is actually a deoraisa. But if we go back to that first argument, argues Rav Zsolti, that is what the Rambam was held of. And he proves it as follows. He says, if you look at source number 4, the Rambam is bothered by the following question. Hol v'yesh lebezdin ligzor v'lasser davar amuter v'yamenu siru ledoros. Since the rabbis have the ability to enact decrees, prohibitions, and this will stay for many generations, like the Rambam tells us, even if the reason doesn't apply, there's nothing to talk about, so this is really going to stick with us. The Rambam says, I have a problem. How could the rabbis have that ability? The Rambam asks the following question. You're telling me the rabbis have the ability to enact gzeiros and they will exist forever and ever? So what happened to the prohibition of the Torah? Do not add on to the Torah. Lo sosif to the Torah. Don't add to the law, to the laws of the Torah. The Rambam says every rabbinic decree that's going to be forever is going to be in addition to the Torah, argues the Rambam. Let's skip to the Ravid in his argument against this Rambam. Kol eila yisa ruach shekol davar shegazru alav ha'asru l'siag l'mishvar shal Torah ein bo mishum lo sosif alav afilu kavu l'doros v'asru k'shal Torah v'samchu l'mikra, says the Ravid. What are you talking about, Rabbi Rambam? The rabbis are making rabbinic decrees. Adding on to the Torah would adding on to something that's on par with the Torah, adding a biblical halacha. But if you're only in the realm of rabbinic laws, says the Ravid, you're not adding on to the Torah. You just made a new book that's on a much lower level, says the Ravid. I don't even know what's bothering you, Rambam. Why should there be any issue with any rabbinic decrees, says the Ravid. So what does the Rambam hold? Apparently, the Rambam was of the opinion that rabbinic ordinances, rabbinic decrees, actually have the koach and the say are on the same level and are on par with biblical halachos. And when we read the Rambam that says the koach of Rabbanon is from lo sasser, is from that pasuk, it doesn't mean on a general level. It means on a very specific level that every single case is actually a deoraisa. You'll ask me, you'll throw me a question. Then how could you be lax when a case of doubt? How could you be lax in a case of suffix? We took care of that. Because the Rambam says the rabbis enacted within their decree that it should not apply to cases of doubt. It should only apply in cases of certainty. However, when the Rambam wants to weigh the rabbinic laws, according to the Rambam, it carries heavy weight on par with the Chumash, on par with the Torah. So now the Rambam is of the opinion, and he's stuck with a serious question. How do I deal with this issue of lo sosif, which is really in addition to the Torah? It's very nice that the rabbis want to protect the Torah. It's very nice that the rabbis have good intentions, but they're in violation of lo sosif because they're actually adding biblical laws. Because of the Rambam Shita, that every rabbinic law has its koach in the deoraisa of lo sasser. The Ravid said, absolutely not. Even if there's a pasuk of lo sasser, that means on a more general level, don't rebel against the rabbis. One should give authority to them, and one should understand that it's very serious. But at the end of the day, you're going to ask me in the closet, you know, when no one else is around, I'm going to tell you these are rabbinic at the end of the day. But be respectful. Don't rebel. Lo Susser tells you that you have to be appropriate. You shouldn't just neglect all of these rabbinic laws because they're only rabbinic. But the Ravid says, when I'm in the realm of Lo Susser, adding to the Torah, nothing biblical is being added here. Every law on its own is rabbinic in its nature. So that apparently is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Scholti argues as follows. You want to know why the Rambam is of the opinion, even if batal atam, the gzeira can't just wither away like the Ravid presented? I'll tell you why. Because the gzeiros midrabanan, says Rav Scholti, are similar to the Doraisa. Would anyone imagine to say, would anyone ever have the ability to say that this law in the Chumash, in Parshas Bamidbar, in Parshas Vayikra, should not apply today because the reason doesn't apply? Chas v'shalom. The mitzvahs HaTorah are li'olam void kayam. We don't hold that the mitzvahs are going to go away. The Rishonim wrote books and books in Maseches Brachos, the Rashba, just to eradicate any of the meaning that thought that the mitzvahs would be batal. The Rashba couldn't take it. Of course the Torah is going to be kayam la'olam. The Oraisas, the Tam doesn't apply, the reason doesn't apply. That's our religion. Therefore the Rambam says on the same token, on par with that, rabbinic decrees, Tam, that's not a reason to eradicate. Just like it's not a reason on the level of the Oraisa, it's not a reason on the level of the Rabbanon. Because according to our analysis, there really is no level derabanan. Every derabanan, in essence, is a deraisa. So the Rambam is not going to seriously consider the argument of batla atam, the reason of medication on Shabbos, clapping on Shabbos, that doesn't apply today, comes along, says the Rambam, these are deraisas we're talking about. However, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid is of the opinion, and he says, these are rabbinic. And therefore, they're not on par with the Torah. And therefore, if it doesn't get into the realm of Baal Tosef to begin with, we never had an issue that rabbinic decrees would be Baal Tosef. And therefore, the Ravid takes very seriously this issue that the Batal Atam, and he can relate to those that complain that these rabbinic issues are inapplicable. And therefore, the Ravid says that does have ramifications, and therefore you would not need the qualification of a greater Beis Din later on and the Takana, as long as you convene, like we discussed before, just because you're not as wise and as great as the Beis Din that preceded you, that would not be an issue, because these are not the Oraisas. However, the Rambam himself, right? The Rambam himself agrees. And this is what comes out over here. The Rambam says that there is no... When the Takana was enacted and there was nothing stipulated, this is a Doraisa. But there's one limitation, says the Rambam. That limitation is when the rabbis themselves enacted it for a temporary reason or stipulated themselves that there would be certain cases that it would not apply. I don't want to hold up the Olam. Emir Tzashem will continue this. There's a lot more to talk about. And Emir Tzashem will get to talk about the medications practically and how this argument and these issues that we're talking about right now will have ramifications halacha lemaisa about medications on Shabbos. Yeshikai.